The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Care and protection for the whole family's health at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Good morning, this is Damien O'Reilly with you between now and 1 o'clock. And as you will have heard in the news headlines there, the death has been announced of broadcaster and songwriter Shay Healy. And I suppose over the last four decades, aside from, of course, his own great successes in the media world and his achievements as well, seldom was his name mentioned without the name of Johnny Logan in the same breath, and vice versa, because of course Shay Healy famously wrote the song that won the 1980 Eurovision, What's Another Year, which was sung by Johnny Logan, who joins me on the phone. Johnny, good morning to you, although not a good morning for so many people that were close to and knew Shay Healy so well.
Yes, indeed, Damien, indeed. It's a very difficult morning for some of those that loved him. I got a text at 1 o'clock this morning to tell me he hadn't been well for a while, and I know that Fionnán and Oisín and Finn, his grandson, had all been notified, and the family had been notified that he had taken a turn for the worst, and we were all just waiting for the word to come, and unfortunately it came at the early hours of the morning, and it's very, very hard to take, very hard.
He had been unwell for some time.
He had. He'd fought the good fight with Parkinson's. Everybody, I'm sure most of your listeners are aware, but he was always, he had a great sense of humour, which helped him get through nearly everything. I mean, he was such a funny man and such a witty man. He never gave up, you know. He used to go swimming in the morning. He'd be, sometimes... it must have been very difficult for him because words were one of his gifts, and Parkinson's really got in the way of him expressing himself, talking about, to his friends and all this sort of thing, particularly when he was on the phone. Yeah. My thoughts really and my prayers at the moment are really with the boys and his family, because much as my heart is broken, I'm sure that... I'm in the bag with Bilby and John McColgan and Sean Devitt and those that knew him and used to work with him. But those that were closest to him, and Fionnán and Oisín, I'm sure they're heartbroken because he was one of these kind of stars that Sean and you were just attracted towards him, So much love in the man.
You had a lifelong friendship, obviously, going, as I said, way back to 1980, but I presume before that as well. Do you remember when you first met and how you got involved in all of that, Johnny?
Yeah, well, my father had known him, not before me, because, Shay was very bohemian, like Dimpna, his wife. The two of them were cast from the same cloth, and Shay used to play in the folk clubs in New York and this sort of thing, and he spent time there. And then when he came back, I think he became a cameraman. I don't know how long after, he had different jobs, but he became a cameraman at RTE. And he worked with my father. And, that gave us an insight into each other, an opening to each other. But over the years, I met him at song festivals and different events, nightclubs. We quaffed more than a few together, I think, is one way of putting it. And we were kind of drawn to each other. I think certain things in your life are fate. And, Shay and me were supposed to be this, he's someone that was very, very easy to like and unfortunately very easy to love,
And what's the story behind the What's Another Year and that Eurovision win that you remember?
What's Another Year? Well, I met him in the Castlebar Song Contest. And I was joking with him about one of the lines in a song he'd written. Billy Brown and himself and Jim O'Neill, who used to be a DJ with RTE, were singing this song. And there was a line that called, Life is just a bowl of cherries, and it was, why do I get all the pips? And it was just, which is probably not funny now, but at the time it's hilarious to me. and it was, I think, 79. And then I had a song in the Castle Bar Song Contest that year as well. I was singing, and he asked me then, he said, look, I have a song in the Eurovision Song Contest. If it gets into the final, will you sing it for me? And, you know, like, being that kind of thing, you know, I said, people ask you those kind of questions all the time. But you say, yeah, of course it will, of course it will. And I never thought I'd hear from Jay again. Sure enough, there the song got in, and then we went through that. And that's where the story began, you know, like sort of the introduction to Bill Whelan, you know, from the arrangement point of view, Colin Tully, the sax player, and Shay explaining to me where the song came from. He wrote it about his father trying to get over the death of his mother, and which was really helpful from the point of view of trying to sing it. And then just the friendship, you know, like sort of grew out of that, and it carried on through the good times and the bad times, and there were lots of both of those. And, you know, we didn't always agree with each other on everything, and but we never stopped loving each other. And as I said, it's a very, very hard hand.
You mentioned John McColgan there, who is another great friend. Good morning to you, John, and condolences to you as well, because you'd been very, very close to Shay, and I believe you were with him quite recently.
Yeah, Shay and I knew each other going back to the 60s in RTE. We were both at one point cameramen in RTE, and we went on holidays together, and we've never really been apart for the last 50 plus years, and immensely fond of him. I was very taken with his personality and his talent. He was incredibly talented, and I produced a show that he wrote about the electricity coming to the West called The Wiremen, and that went on in Dublin about 12 years ago and was very successful. And in the ballad boom, Shay was in the middle of all that, and there was a house in Sandymount owned by Joe O'Donnell, and once a week he had a ballad party and would cook a curry in a huge, like almost a dustbin, and we'd all go, and Shay would sit there singing the songs. Joe also sang the songs, and it was reflective of the ballad boom time, all the Ronnie Drews and the Pecker Duns, and all of those people were there. So in my memory, through slightly rose-tinted glasses, it was a wonderful period in time. And then Shay went on, of course, to present Ballad Sheet, Nighthawks on television. He did a tremendous amount of very good work. And as I say, I was honoured to be a friend and to be in his company over the years. Mm. And recently with that awful Parkinson's, which he's had for an incredible amount of time, nearly 20 years, but in the last 2.5 years or so, it really began to diminish him enormously. So he was in a nursing home called the Four Ferns in Fox Rock, and I and other people visited him, but you had to go to a window and put your head to a crack in the window to try to talk to him, which wasn't that successful. And then they built a little, like a garden shed in the basement of the garage, and you could go in there. And
No, you're okay, John.
Other phone. Let me.
Yeah, there's lots of people.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I saw him last Tuesday, and it was the first time I was let into his room because he wasn't well enough to get out of bed, and it was the last time I saw him. And I knew when I saw him that he wasn't long for this world, and I said a quiet prayer to the Lord. I said, please take him by the hand and bring him home.
And that's what's happened, as in from last night. So, John, just before I let you go, I mean, how will we remember? How should Shay Healy be remembered?
Well, he was multi-talented. He was a trier. He never stopped. Whenever I met him, even when he was in the nursing home, he was writing songs, and he was writing a new musical about Dublin, and all day, every day. He was a fantastic trier. He had a lot of success and some failure, like everybody. But anytime you met him, he lifted your spirits. Sometimes he felt down because some of the projects he wanted to do didn't come to pass, again, like a lot of us. But great company. It's an honor to have known him. And if you look at Nighthawks or if you look at Ballad Sheet or all the times that he was on television, an amazing personality. I remember Nationwide did a mini documentary on him about 12 years ago, and his wife was in it. But in any event, I will miss him, but the other part of me is glad that he's been let go and taken home.
All right. All right, John, I'll let you go there. Thank you so much for joining us as a dear friend of Shay Healy's, as you said there, for the best part of 40 or 50 years. Linda Martin is on the line. Linda, you're listening to Johnny there. He was talking about the Castlebar Song Contest.
Yes,
and that,
yes,
that holds a special memory for you as well and your connection with Shay.
Well, it does. And my heart is actually breaking for Johnny listening to him there, because he's obviously devastated. But I remember Shay ringing up, and he was one of the first people to give me a solo song. And it was called Edge of the Universe. And we travelled up to Castlebar and subsequently won, which was a very prestigious contest in those days.
Yeah.
But I got into the car with makeup on. And I arrived in Castlebar with not a shred of makeup on, because he was so funny in the way up that the tears were running down my face. And that's what I can remember. I mean, it's tragic at the moment. And my heart goes out to the family. But I've wonderful memories of that man. Clever, kind, witty. And an all-abiding one, which you'll probably love, is he decided he'd rewrite the lyrics of all the ABBA songs. So we tripped into the recording studios with him. And for an example, he decided that instead of SOS by ABBA, he would write the lyrics and they'd pertain to Smelly Socks. And he had another little gem called The Necrophiliac Ball. And he duly recorded all these songs and he sent them off to ABBA, expecting ABBA to say, yes, okay, go ahead and record and we put this album out. And I think it was a resounding no came back from the Swedish geniuses. But, you know, you never met him and you didn't. It was incredible. You laughed. Even in the recent years when he was incredibly ill, you still laughed at the things he'd say. And they were totally irreverent. I mean, you just couldn't repeat much of the stuff on radio. But I really am truly sorry for his family. Thankful that all the memories I have of him and Dimple, the wife, are lovely memories and they're happy memories. And wherever he is at the moment, Damien, I'd say they are laughing their smelly socks off.
Yeah, lovely tribute there indeed, Linda. Just stay there. Phil Coulter's on the line. Phil, good morning to you.
Good morning, Damien.
Sad morning again for a man that you knew very well also.
Oh, yes, Shay was, I mean, we have the songwriting community in Ireland has now lost one of our legendary figures. Shay was, as John McLaughlin said just a little while ago, Shay was a trier. He never really stopped. And his there's nobody, in all of my acquaintance of songwriters, there's nobody who got more out of writing a hit song or winning a Eurovision Song Contest than Shay. This was his glory days. During the finals, Shay, as typical of Shay, not taking the thing too seriously, he wore a T-shirt during the rehearsals of the finals that said, "It is imperative that I win this contest." That was typical Shay Healy. In all of the years that I've known Shay, he was upbeat. He was always full of ideas. A trier, as John said, never gave up. And just incredibly witty. I remember one of my fondest recollections when I was producing Billy Connolly's albums. I recorded a song that Shay had written for Billy called "The Country and Western Super Song." The opening line was, "My granny's a cripple in Nashville," and it got worse, it deteriorated from then. But Billy was in town for a couple of days filming in Ardmore, and it happened to coincide with his birthday. So I had invited him up to the house for what he thought was going to be a quiet dinner. He got into the front door, I ushered him to the right into the sitting room, and there was Shay Healy, Ronnie Drew, Ralph McTell, Christy Moore, Paul Brady, all the old folkies. And we sat and had dinner. And for once, Billy Connolly had very little to say. He was there just being entertained by the likes of Shay Healy. It was just a wonderful get-together. And it was Shay who christened us, that group of old fogies, as the Dinos Club, as in the Dinosaurs Club. But the Dinos Club are one member down now, and we're all so sad. I mean, Shay has left a great legacy behind. Everybody that knew Shay I don't want to say a bad word about Shea. I never heard Shea saying a bad word about anybody else. You know, he was just one of those guys that was upbeat, but bohemian, as John said. Just a lovely guy, lovely guy. Mm.
Somebody's texted in here. Shea Healy was the coolest man in Ireland. And just another question here, and Linda and Phil, both of you may have the answer to this. Damien, wasn't Shea Healy's Eurovision trophy stolen during a house break, house viewing? Did he ever get it back?
Oh, I don't know if he ever did. Now, was that stolen out of the house he lived in Prince of Wales Terrace or something like that over Southside? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Johnny would know. Maybe Phil would know, but I certainly don't.
Phil, did you ever hear that story?
No, but JB and Shea, he would have gotten over that, you know. Didn't beat up on himself about that setback. What a minor setback as far as Shea was concerned. It wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah, there's just your line is going a bit there. But Father Brian Darcy is on the line. Father Brian, good morning to you.
Good morning, Damien.
Another sad morning. Another one of your great old, I suppose, colleagues from the music, show band, stroke, you know, songwriting, folk era gone.
Ah, gosh, yes. I'm just all the memories that are coming there from all of them, John and Phil and Linda and Johnny, they're all exactly true. I would have said every single thing you're saying. First time I recognised Shea was actually, I probably wasn't even ordained at the time, probably down in the late 60s. There was a folk club that used to run in the Liberty Hall, and I think it was a Friday night. And Shea with his guitar was one of the stars of it. Johnny McAvoy and the Ramblers too used to be on it as well. And people like that. It was right at the beginning of the folk singer. And I remember him from that. And then, of course, naturally enough, he began to write for New Spotlight. And he crossed all the bands and he crossed everybody's thing. At that. He was one of the great unifiers in music. Sometimes music in Ireland splits up into either show bands or folk groups or orchestras or something like that. And Phil Colt was another man who brought all of those things together and did everything. And Shea had a hit right up in 2019, you know, he wrote a great song for Nathan Carter called Donnybrook Fair and Bill Shandy. And he was very excited about that was such a great hit.
I like that.
Yeah. And Brian, talking about Nashville, I think it was Phil that mentioned it there. Like he wrote songs as well for Johnny Cash. And could he have ever made it over in Nashville, or did he try to crack that side of the music genre?
Yes, he could have. Right? Shea could have made it in Nashville had he stayed, but Shea was impatient, you know. And Nashville for Shea, songwriting was an incredible, insightful, artistic thing. And Nashville is a 9-to-5 job. And that didn't help. He used to tell a wonderful story about he had a song that he thought would suit Johnny Cash, and he couldn't, as they say, pitch it to Johnny Cash in any way, and he couldn't get it to him. He eventually sent it to Johnny's home in Hendersonville, and he got a reply. Sorry, sir. Mr. Cash is not listening today. Which meant, of course, that Johnny Cash wasn't actually recording an album at that time, which is the only time he listened to songs. But she took this as at first an insult, and then a great line for another song that he wrote. Phil was talking about his humour, and his humour was very much like that. That tragic song that he wrote with Billy Connolly that you're talking about, he talked to me one time about it. He said, a good country song has to have a mother, religion and tragedy in it. And he said the perfect line would be, my mother was drowned in the bath at Lourdes. He said that would actually be the perfect beginning to a country song. And it wasn't, and then it was just pure witticism with him. I actually, one time you were talking about him being a cameraman, I actually employed Shea one day. That's an extraordinary thing, very unusual. I was working in the Catholic Communications Institute up the road in Booterstown. I was producing a programme and I wanted two good cameramen. And I phoned John McCartney, who I knew at the time, would he do a deal? And so John and Shea came up and spent a day as cameramen, and I gave them a fiver each, and both of them were very glad to get it. Yeah. They gave me many a fiver afterwards, too. There's just incredible stories that go right back with Shea.
Yeah, and Phil, had you kept in touch with Shea up until recently?
Absolutely, yeah. In fact, just before the whole COVID thing, maybe a couple of years ago now, again, Billy Connolly was in town doing a run in the O2, and a bunch of them went out to dinner, and We had a bit of a laugh because Shay and Billy were sitting beside each other, and they were kind of, as Connolly christened that dinner, a whole lot of shaking going on, and they were comparing their Parkinson notes. But even in those days, you know, Shay battling to speak and battling to be heard, but he never allowed himself to wallow in self pity. Never. I mean, he fought it all the time, and was always behind the eyes. You could always see that Shay Healy spark.
Hmm. Linda?
I'm still here, yeah.
Yeah, you're listening to Phil there. Until the very end, the wit, the reverence, it remained.
Yes, it really did. He was just so talented. It sort of exuded from him, you know. And it's going to be strange now, because whenever we did gigs, like in the concert hall and things like that, Shay inevitably turned up. And we wouldn't see him until either the interval or the end. But you knew you were going to get a rundown of what he thought the concert was like. And it was always funny. He never came up and said you were rubbish, which I probably was, but that wasn't the point. It was almost like a stand-up show in the interval, and then at the end, I don't know where the talent came from. I don't know. He was a wordsmith, I suppose, really, Shakespeare of our day, but a tremendous talent, tremendously funny guy, and as Phil said, never a bad word about anybody else. He was so enjoying his life, he hadn't time to run anybody else down.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody that we've heard paying tribute to him this morning online.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something new. One of his philosophies in life was, if you were down in the dumps and you happened to be around Shay, you got invited to his house, and he used to make these huge brie cheese toasted sandwiches. Now, you can imagine these slabs of gooey mess coming out of a toaster or whatever the hell he cooked them. And they were delicious. Why we didn't all have heart attacks at that time, I don't know. But he was, in my memory anyway, there's lovely memories, there's funny memories, and they'll be there for the rest of my days. And like I said earlier, he's somewhere, and he's entertaining the troops wherever the next place is. Mm. And just, Shay, rest in peace wherever you are.
Well said, Linda. Sammy Smith is on the line. Sammy, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. Your memories of Shay, how far back do you guys go?
Oh, God, back before there was colour television, I think. he was the folk correspondent for Spotlight magazine. And the first job I had when I arrived in Dublin was working for Spotlight magazine, which at the time was like a trade magazine for show business. And she had a very grand title, which was the folk correspondent. And he was there, and we became great friends at that time. And, God, he was a great multitasker of a folk singer, musician. He was in everything. And we were in and out of each other's lives, sometimes with longer pauses than others along the way. But we met relatively recently, as Phil Coulter was saying there. There are a lot of old dinners of old show business worthies gathering, and Shay was nearly always there, and he was a magnificent contributor. And as everybody seemed to have said so far, one of the things about journalism and show business is that, you know, backbiting is often an art form, and he never, to my knowledge and my memory, ever slagged off anybody. And that is a very, very rare talent for, or a rare virtue for somebody in our trade. And you know, the one thing that caught me, I must say, to everybody talking about the Eurovision, which, let's face it, did provide him with a great financial base. At one time, I think he bought his family home from it in Sandymount and so on. But after that, I think he got a bit bored with Eurovision at times, as he did get bored with things, and he was very keen on the alternative Eurovision in Dublin. And I can remember there was one in the Crystal Ballroom in Dublin, and he was very much involved in it. And there was a song, I assume he was the lead wordsmith in it, but it was called Another Prick in the Doll, which was, you know, a bad taste parody on the Pink Floyd's Another Brick in the Wall, and also done to the same melody, which was very funny. And it was, of course, him taking the wee-wee out of the Eurovision Song Contest. He was subversive and mischievous by nature, I think.
Well, you talk there about politics. And tell me more about Nighthawks. Was it in 1992? Because, you know, you say there about him being multi-talented. He came to RTÉ in the late 60s as a cameraman. Then he was involved in songwriting, as we know. But he also presented on television. I think he was a reporter, a roving reporter for a programme called Evening Extra, which was sort of a precursor to Nationwide, that sort of programme back in the 80s. And then he presented this late night programme, which was set on a set of a bar stroke cafe with people sitting around. And there was the interview with the former Minister for Justice, Sean Doherty, which was enough to bring down a government. Am I right in recollecting it like that?
It was in January 92, Damien, and it was a terrific programme. It was one of the most memorable that was ever on RTÉ. It was groundbreaking at the time. And Shea presented it with great relish, and I think he was rightly very proud of it. But they were doing a broadcast from Roscommon, from Castlereagh in Roscommon, if I'm not mistaken. And the former Minister for Justice, a Fianna Fáil minister called Sean Doherty, now sadly dead a long time now, I think. But he came on, and Sean Doherty had been fired from government for authorising the bugging of the telephones of two journalists, which was Geraldine Kennedy and Bruce Arnold. And he'd been fired from that, and you know there had been all sorts of suspicions that his Taoiseach at the time, Charlie Haughey, had been involved in that. And this, of course, was roundly denied. Haughey was Taoiseach at the time, and at the time there was a lot of pressure to get Haughey out and get Albert Reynolds in to the leader's position and the Taoiseach's office. And Shea was sat there. Sean Doherty was sat there, and Sean Doherty revealed to Shea in that interview that, yes, indeed, he had passed on the transcripts of the interview and so on to Charles Haughey. And now there was a huge furore. It was an enormous scandal at the time. Charlie Haughey denied it, but nobody ever really believed him. And that was the beginning of the end of Charlie Haughey's career as Taoiseach.
Yeah, it was kind of our Watergate moment in a way. And the serendipity of it is that, of course, Albert Reynolds, who was Longford stroke Roscommon man on the Rooski, went on indeed to become the Taoiseach after that. But was there a sense that Shea and the team, that they stumbled upon this without actually realising what was being said?
I don't know how sophisticated they were, but I'll tell you what, there were a few foxes around that team, and I'm sure they must have sniffed something now, because Sean Doherty was notoriously mischievous. And like, what else would he have to say of any great note other than that? You know, he had been out of office for some years at the time, so I think they might have hoped, they would never know that it was going to happen until it happened at the time.
Yeah.
But they were probably hoping against hope, and then did he deliver at the time. And as we know, history was changed.
And just to add to the chaos and confusion, I think there was a strike in RTÉ at the time as well.
around
the time. Niamh Cavanagh is on the line. Niamh, thank you so much for taking our call this morning. You're hearing the sad news of the passing of Shea as well.
Yes, yeah. It was actually Johnny rang me texted me this morning very early, and it's so shocking in some ways, because although we know he has been, you know, I suppose failing is the word, but you know, we knew it would be potentially happening. It's always going to be a shock with someone like Shea, who's always been larger than life. I don't think I ever knew a moment with Shea where he wasn't creating or either divilment or, you know, creating music or writing. That's just his spirit, was always about moving forward and, you know, enriching the space that he was in at the time. So it is a bit of a shock to find, you know, that he's gone. That's, you know, very, very difficult.
And, you know, you're part of that exclusive Eurovision club, which you could almost say he was the honorary president of.
Oh, well, always, always. But actually, my first experience of working with Shea was way back pre my Eurovision involvement, which on Nighthawks, when I worked as a session singer, and Mary Robinson had been elected, and he did the song "The Best Job for Man." Best job for the man for the job was the woman, and I went and sang backing vocals on it, and it was just
you know, that from that moment on, you're drawn to him because he's so creative in what he does, and he doesn't confine himself to one space. And I'm nearly sure wherever he is at the moment, he's sorting them out and organising them, getting them ready for the next bit. You know, so I mean, it's a loss, but he's left us with so much. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it makes us feel really enriched by it. You know, so yeah.
A very sad morning for so many people, and not least as we were saying earlier, his sons and grandson. Aengus McAnally, you went on a world tour with him, am I right?
Good morning, and do you know, I'm listening to this with both tears and laughter in my eyes and my voice and my face and whatever. It's a happy and a sad day. Yeah, Shay had a wonderful, wicked sense of humour, and way back in the 80s, we did a thing which the two of us called the Two Egypts World Tour, and we did three venues. We did one in Limerick, which was very badly attended, as there were just the two of us, and we would do solo songs and group songs, and I'd go off and he'd go off and we'd go together. But I remember ringing up, because there were no mobile phones in those days, but I rang up Billy, my wife, to let her know how the night had gone. And my side of the conversation went, no, it was okay, yeah. Not huge, no. £28. No. Between us. There was nobody there. But it was brilliant. And we did another night up in the Hawkswell in Sligo. And as I said, I would do three songs, then Shane would join. We'd do three together, then I'd go off and he'd do his, right? But while I was doing one of my solo songs, Shane was standing side stage. And the next thing, he became aware of a flashlight in his eyes. And he heard this voice saying, "Where are they?" And he said, "What? Where are they?" I said, "I have no idea what you're talking about. We're in the middle of a concert. What's going on?" And apparently two young men had absconded from police custody and had run into the theatre and went backstage. So they were searching them and take them on to me. And he said, "We have to get off. The police want to close down the place." But he was fantastic. And one of the great things about Jay was, and as Sam mentioned, you know, that the Eurovision had been very beneficial to him financially. He immediately went about sharing that with people. For example, he came to me, and in the early 80s, I was doing Anything Goes, the Saturday morning children's program, mm-hmm. and you know, the friend to children and all of that. And he said, "I've written this song and I want you to sing it, and I'll pay for it, and we go into the studio." And it was called "I Am Allergic to Christmas." And Ronan, I know, digs it every year, and it's the anathema to Christmas. And but he insisted on paying for the studio and paying for everything, got a video done, and he was just wonderful like that. And to me, I loved his irreverent sense of humor. And as people have been mentioning, how he, you know, when you hear people where they say there was an illness bravely born, but he fought it all the way. But I rang him, oh, I suppose a year and a half ago now, and he'd be very shaky on the phone. He said, "How are you, Shay?" And he said, "How am I? I tell you, Aggie," he used to call me Aggie, he said, "I'm a sniper's worst nightmare." I mean, to have that, you know, this sense of humour, yeah. That's it. But I think the proudest night that I've had a long time theatre was to be part of a wonderful night in the Gaiety Theatre that John McColgan and Julian Vigneault organised, a tribute to him. And he just came on, and he was backstage, he couldn't move, and yet danced on and danced around the stage and sang, that's the real performance.
Well, look at it, for the people that were involved in that night, it's a nice memory to have that they all came together for that special tribute a couple of years ago. Aengus McAnally, formerly of this parish, thank you so much for joining us, to Niamh Cavanagh and to all our other guests, and Johnny Logan at the beginning. And we just have Susan Keenan has texted in here, "Sad day for Ireland. Picture this, Shay and Prince Philip at the pearly gates. Some laughs going on there. Rest in peace, Shay."
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.